And then I'm going to ask you to prepare your giving to the Lord while you are turning to Judges. And then while you are preparing your offering, there are some announcements up there that do pertain to you. And I just want to say to everyone this morning that I am looking around the congregation today and I keep track, I keep record. 99.9 of the time, I know when you're here and when you're not. And I'm not talking about physically. I just know you're missing. And I've kept records. And what I've seen the last four Sundays is last Sunday, I don't think there was a pew, maybe the front pew that was empty. But 40% of the last four Sundays have been people that were not in church the Sunday before, which means people are coming. I just think you're calling each other. Are you going today? Because if you're going today, I'm not going today. Which easily can be where we would have two services. But I dare not try that because of the pattern. We are habitual pattern lifestyle people. That's what they know us by, our patterns and our behavior. So the good news is, thank you for coming out. Many are online watching this morning. But I just want you to know that I am glad people are trickling in saying, let's go say hi to New Beginnings. Maybe there's something there for me. But if you stay long enough, you'll find what you're looking for. Amen. I guarantee you, you'll find what you're looking for. If not, I'll give you your dollar back. Welcome to New Beginnings. Let's make everyone who's new at New Beginnings welcome this morning. Welcome to New Beginnings. Want to welcome all the wonderful people online also this morning because they do a couple of things when they can't be here like you. They pray for us and they take care of their giving online. And I just want to say thank you to them who give online. Thank you so much. And all of you this morning, thank you for taking care of the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to watch God's people take care of, just like yesterday. I've watched the dear sisters. You're probably wondering what happened. One of our dear sisters fell ill and had to take her to the hospital. But I watched the dynamics of connecting and helping and prayer and being there for each other. And that's the thing that what New Beginnings is birthed on, is that, hey, we'll be there if you let us. We won't force ourselves on you. You have to be proactive. You've got to be the one doing the footwork. You've got to be the one saying, hey, you know what? I need New Beginnings. Amen? Amen. So we have I want to say happy birthday to all of you that were born in the month of February. Happy birthday. But I have a very special happy birthday that I want to say out loud to the whole world. She is my first love. And that's to my mom. Happy birthday, Mom. We're not going to tell them how old you are, but happy birthday. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Thank you, everybody, for your giving. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for looking at all the announcements, blessing and recovery, men's Bible study, midweek Bible study, going over the gifts of the Spirit. There's youth, there's children. Bible school, you have to be enrolled to get into that class. Saturday morning, men, we're coming back again. And which chapter, Minister Joe, are we going to deal with? 16, right? 1 Corinthians 16. You got a week, my brothers, to go over that chapter. 8 o'clock, we'll have breakfast and fellowship. It'll be a good time. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again this morning for your presence, your spirit, your anointing, your power, who you are, what you stand for. Thank you for every giver, for everyone who prays and say, God, take care of New Beginnings, and those who serve New Beginnings, Lord God, keep them strong, keep them focused as they work for you. They don't work for no one else but you. And thank you for all those who help financially, Lord God, to make sure that these doors will continue, stay open for the rest of the year. We ask that in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Ushers, thank you for helping this morning. The other reason why I look around and see who is here and when was the last time you came to church, I have been preaching, teaching, hollering, talking, giving advice, giving counsel, giving insight, giving revelation, giving inspiration about the life of Gideon. Everybody say Gideon. Gideon. The life of Gideon. We are a type of Gideon. Gideon represents the Christian, the believer. Gideon also represents our decision making. We have decisions to make, and you haven't made them. But you know you got to make them. And hopefully Gideon gives us some encouragement how to make them correctly and right. That will benefit the glory of God and benefit our walk with the Lord. So Gideon is a type of the church. We are the church. And we are the answer to the world. Not us personally, but who lives inside of us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the power of God. So if you want to have more insight in the life of Gideon, I'm going to encourage you to read chapter 6, 7, and 8. And a brief feedback or just a brief connection of what I've been saying for the last 3 weeks about Gideon. It was the condition that God found the Israelites. God was going to use Gideon to help in the condition that the Israelites got themselves into. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you got yourself in a pickle, a situation, and you just don't know how to get yourself out of it. Gideon will help us. Because Gideon knew that the Israelites, the enemy, somebody say enemy. Look at me for a moment. Like it or not, believe it or not, you can be in denial or you can say, Pastor, you are so right on. Every one of you here have an enemy. And I'm going to define and I'm going to expose the enemy to you right this moment. You may agree, you may not agree, and it's okay if you don't. The enemy that you have is this thing called worry. It is your biggest enemy, because from worry opens the door to oppression. So, Pastor, I'm not oppressed. Let me just ask you this simple little question. If you are procrastinating of the decisions that you have to make, you might be oppressed. Not in an evil way, but you're stuck. Procrastination is not from God. But can I say this morning? Every good gift comes from the Lord. God came down and had an encounter with Gideon through an angel, and the Spirit of God and a prophet of God brought him all these wonderful assurance in his life, but still there was still worry and doubt. Now listen, God's been speaking and ministered to you every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you get up, God is ministering to you. He's strengthening you. He's helping you out. And still, we want some kind of confirmation that this is God. And I want to encourage you that the only one that tugs you towards the things of God is God. And the enemy tugs you away from the things of God. That's a great indicator. If you're hungry for God, that's a good sign. If you're running from God, that's not a good sign. But if you have people praying for you, I have some counsel for you. Stop running. If you have somebody praying for you, stop running. Why? Because you're going to run right into God. You're going to have an encounter with God. This is for someone this morning. I'm not a prophet. I don't speak certain words to say they're from God. I study my heart. I study my mind. I study my soul, God's anointing. But somebody needs to hear this morning. I think it's going to set you free. God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is a very powerful presence and authority from the Lord. So the angel of the Lord came and had an encounter with Gideon and found him hiding. And the angel of the Lord said something to Gideon that I hope stuck with him to change his direction, because Gideon is a type of making certain decisions, and we got to make those decisions, and we've been struggling by making those decisions. We got to make them. Why do we have to make these decisions? Because I believe you and I made a covenant with God. I don't remember making a covenant with you, Pastor Bobby. You didn't make a covenant with me, but together we came together and said, let's make a covenant with God. And we made a covenant. And that covenant is that we're going to use 2026 to get rich. Somebody say, hallelujah. Rich? Really? I don't remember. Now that you said rich, maybe we will make a covenant. We'll need to get rich in two areas. Health. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And peace. Gideon had an encounter with God, and Gideon heard these words. And those words were, man of valor. He wasn't behaving and acting like a man of valor, but that's who God said he was. And the moment you and I find out who we are in Christ Jesus, it changes the course, it changes the atmosphere, it changes everything that goes on, because we know exactly that God is doing or saying something in our lives that's going to transform us and that's going to change us for his glory. And so that is why this message is challenging, because in this journey of setting themselves up for battle, somebody say battle. How many know that it's a lot of battles trying to stay healthy? It's a lot of battle to make sure we create peace in our lives, right? So we're saying to God, God, lead us in 2026. Lead us. Lead us, Lord. So the battle begun. After everything was said and done, okay, after everything was said and done, God prepared Gideon and his army for battle. God is preparing us for battle. Over what? Worry. Where does it come from? Fear. I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I gave you spirit of love, sound mind, right? I didn't give you that. And so when worry and fear tag teams each other, then it's difficult for us to make those right decisions in our lives. But we got to make them. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But as we go forward, we understand that we're asking God to turn to help us with our life as we go forward in Jesus' name. I want to pray. I want to move into about 10, 15 minutes of good, solid teaching. Father God, as we move into application of how you prepared Gideon for battle, you gave him a trumpet, somebody say trumpet, and you gave him a broken vessel, a vessel, somebody say vessel, and you gave him a torch. God, I thank you this morning that as we go forward, we'll understand the wonderful work that you're doing in each one of us. You've given us weapons, tools to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. So, God gave Gideon, the army, a trumpet. It's a symbol of a practical application that we have to use. That trumpet is we have to sound the alarm that I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm declaring that Jesus is the answer to my life and my home. The vessel, which was broken, is that our lives now belong to the Lord. And for us to be used by God, we have to empty ourselves, less of us and more of Jesus. That's a journey. That's powerful. That's why grace is sufficient for you today. Where do I start? You got to start with the grace of God. And then God gave him and them, the army, and Gideon, a torch. What does a torch represent? Let me give you some guidance and some ideas so that you and I can at least know that God is leading us in 2026. Amen. He's asking us to let the trumpet and the vessel and the torch lead us to the promised land, to abundance, to where we should be, why it's important that we are sensitive to the Spirit, because this is about making some decisions. And my prayer is that somewhere in this journey, you started the journey of taking care of your health. I suggested, and that's all it is, was a suggestion where to start. My second suggestion this morning is learn to hydrate yourself. I'm not going to say any more. Look into it, Google it, how important it is that you're not dehydrated, but you're hydrated in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? I'm not a health guru because I am in that journey of trying to get myself to a place where we understand the wonderful work of the Lord in our lives. Somebody say torch. Torch is an application of an example. We have to be an example to the people around us. We have to be salt and light. We have to be witnesses, and we have to be people who are on fire. We have to have people who are have a prayer life. We have to show people the way. And as you and I know, that it's easy to get to start it, but it's hard to finish. It's easy to get well, but it's hard to stay well. So this journey is not easy, but with the help of God, we'll understand how important this is. And why this is important is because we're going to take our decision-making, our worries, we're going to put them in the hands of God. Somebody say amen to that. And once we put them in the hands of God, then we begin to see the hand of God in those areas that we wanted blessings or miracles or breakthrough in our lives. We begin to see that God is working in us and working for us, and that God is doing this great work in our lives, and we give him all the glory and all the honor. So the weapon of our warfare is that we become people who carry the torch. We carry a flaming light, excuse me. We carry a symbol of God's presence and divine power. Who's going to see our lives if it's not the people who don't know Jesus? But because we know Jesus, they see our life and they say, wow, amen. There's something different about that person. What is it? They've got Jesus in their lives. Amen. So this is where we learn inspiration. This is where we learn illumination. This is where we learn revelation. I'm going to say those words again, because God wants to speak to you. God wants to minister to you. God wants to say some wonderful things to you. God wants to make sure that you are understanding the guidance and the direction of your life. And this wonderful torch represents all of that. And sometimes it's appearing as a light. That's the Christian life. We have a Christian life. We're Christians. And we're not... Oh, boy, I don't want to get myself in trouble this morning. Is that okay if I get myself in trouble? It's Super Bowl weekend. Is that all right? Is that all right? It's Super Bowl. Pastor, give yourself permission to get in trouble. Listen, not everybody that says the name of Jesus are Christians. We are not a certain segment. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't label here. We don't label there. People who say, well, they're... No, no. We are people who want to be example for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's important that we understand this Christian life is about God's flaming torch. When God made a covenant with Abraham, I want you to listen to this verse. And you find it in Genesis 15, 17. When God made a covenant with Abraham, listen to what the word of the Lord says. And it came to pass when the sun went down, and it was that, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch. See that? That passed between the two pieces. When God was given the Ten Commandments to the Israelites in Exodus 20, verse 18, the people were afraid of God's presence. But watch what this says in verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and they stood far off. When people witness the goodness of God, they are at awe and they say, wow, how do you get some of that goodness of God? And because you know the Jesus of the Bible, you tell them, Jesus is the answer to all of your problems. Listen, I'll close with this. Even though we're speaking symbols, but it's a practical insight. The divine presence of the Lord. Take a moment. I want you to listen to this. I want you to get this. Our guidance from the Lord happens when you and I get that divine presence. How do you get that flaming torch in our lives? How do you get on fire for God? How do you get that passion and compassion? How do you get that authority? How do you get that guidance that you're looking for? We believe here at New Beginnings, you got to do four things. One, you got to have a prayer life. And when you have a prayer life, you'll have a study life where you study the Bible. And if you study the Bible, you have to have fellowship. You get together with people and you have fellowship and you connect and you plant roots. The fourth one is plant roots. If you don't plant roots, there's not going to be any fruit. And if you plant roots, you grow, and you grow together, and you connect together. So the divine presence of the Lord is very powerful. So I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you, you know what? Get a prayer life, get a study life, get a fellowship life, get roots, and from there you will watch the hand of God in your life in Jesus' name. The second thing is there is this enlightenment and this guidance of torch. And what I believe that is saying to us is that you will experience the truth of God, because it's the truth of God that sets us free. And not only that you get the truth of God, you get clarity, you get insight. You say, oh, that was a word from the Lord. That was what God is saying to us today. And you get God's guidance in the middle of any darkness, any trial, any tribulation, any hard time you're going through, you will see God lead you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Listen, destruction is coming. And the church has to get ready. There is a judgment that is taking place. And that judgment is because the coming of the Lord is soon. And we got to prepare ourselves to help people find Jesus and for the coming of the Lord. I believe that there are seven torches that we must have. I'll give them to you real quick. I won't elaborate too much because of time, because I want one very special thing to happen this morning. I want to identify to you this morning the seven torches. There is the spirit of truth. That's the first torch. Truth brings freedom. And making good decisions and putting yourself in those right decisions will bring freedom. If you put yourself in those bad decisions, you're going to experience the oppression of the work of the enemy and what's going on outside. There's the spirit of holiness. Holiness is because you've experienced the righteousness of God in your life. You are righteous because of Jesus. Amen? There's the spirit of faith, and that's where faith moves mountains. And you'll say, man, God moved. God brings miracles. God does great things, and he does. And then there is the spirit of wisdom, which is insight. God will give you the insight. Ah, this is the right decision that I need to make, not only for my health, but also for my peace. And then there's the spirit of power, which is authority. Jesus Christ has given you authority, and you got to be able to use that authority. And then there's the spirit of grace, which is forgiveness. You got to learn how to bless, release, and let go. If you don't, you'll carry the hurt, you'll carry the bondage, you'll carry the resentment, you'll carry the past. God wants you free in Christ Jesus. And the last one is the spirit of glory, which is the presence of God in Jesus' name. How many of you just would love to see more of the presence of God in your life? You guess where it starts? It doesn't start here. It doesn't start here. It starts in your heart and at home. Your home is your first refuge and fortress. It's a safe place. Listen, I'll close with this. This is important. When you start to doubt or worry, okay? When you start to doubt and worry, when worry and doubt sticks his ugly head out, you have to let faith answer back. They're knocking at our door, and we don't even look who's there, we just open the door. When fear speaks or worry speaks, you and I have to let the scripture speak louder than what's speaking to us. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. All of my strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God is still working, He's still fighting, He's still riding, He's still with you. All battles are won in prayer. You gotta have a prayer life. While you are waiting, God is working. They that wait on the Lord, He shall renew their strength. God's timing is never late. He's always on time. Prevention is good. It's better to be safe than sorry. God is still writing your story. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with new beginnings. He's not done with the Christians in Pueblo. There's going to be a move of the Spirit, but it has to start to know that our weapons are from the Lord. And when you use the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, please remember, those fiery darts will come to you every day because you're making a statement and you're making a proclamation that Jesus is my Lord and He's my Savior. Amen. And you're man. Amen to that. You're not fighting alone. You're not fighting alone. If you're fighting alone, listen, you made that decision. If you're fighting alone, you made that decision. It's never too late to change. It says, you know what? I can't fight alone. I need God's people to help me with all this. Amen. So protect your peace like it's the last gift you'll ever receive, because peace is a gift from God. And so is our health, is a gift from God. Amen? Amen. Would you put your hands together and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Before you use the word of God as a sword, you first have to use it as a mirror. Change you, help you, make the right decisions for you. You change your next step for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. As my worship team comes, I want to spend a little time in prayer with you. With